Let's open up our Bibles to Mark 14, verses 35 through 42. Now, we actually made it up through verse 36 last week, but we're going to get a run and go starting in verse 35 because we need that really to kind of look at this whole picture of principles of prayer. Effective prayer really is what I've called it, but the basics are there, and we'll see that in the Lord praying in the garden today. Why don't we read that together starting in verse 35? And then we'll pray. Notice he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And then he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and he prayed and he spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd open your word to us. Teach us about prayer. We want to learn about prayer and not only just learn about prayer and learn facts about prayer, but God, I pray we would learn to pray. And that you would stir in our hearts today that if we're not praying, that we begin to pray. If we are praying, we begin to pray more because prayer is so essential. It is everything in the Christian life. It is what gives us our power, our strength, our ability to follow you, to do what you've asked us to do. It's our connection to you, Lord. It's our relationship. It's everything. And yet, God, it's so hard for us to do sometimes. We're so weak, even as Peter was. I pray you would expose our weakness, but Lord, you would only do it to make us strong by driving us to prayer. I pray that no one, Lord, would leave this place feeling that they've been chastised for a lack of prayer, but rather would leave this place feeling excited and encouraged to pray more because of the possibilities and the opportunities that await a man or woman of prayer. And so, Lord, teach us. Lord, even as your disciples said in speaking about the way you prayed and the way John prayed and others, Lord, teach us to pray. And so I pray you would do that today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think sometimes we make things too complicated, guys. Prayer is one of them. I have, for many years, sat under many different studies about prayer, and all of them are great. And oftentimes, they may have these 7, 8, 9 points of prayer or whatever, and these are all good points. And I love those studies, and I learned a lot from them. And you may find me one day doing a teaching on the 7 points of prayer. So, you know, that's part of it. Because the Bible is full of that. It gives us techniques and shows us ways to pray and principles we need to understand in prayer. But I find this, the older I get in the Lord and the longer I walk with the Lord, it's really just very basic. There are certain things we need to learn, but you know what? True prayer is just pouring your heart out to the Lord. He is your Father. He loves you. You are His child. It's like when your kids come to you and they want to speak to their dad. They want to speak to their mom, whatever. It's very, very natural. It's very, very normal. And that's really what prayer is all about. But there are some things that we can learn, some basic things about being effective in our prayer life that we need to learn. And we're going to see in this passage here with the Lord. If you remember last week or the last time we got in this passage, we saw the weight of sin in the garden. And now we're going to see the effective prayer in the garden to overcome that. And all of us have different things we have to overcome. Some of it is sin. Some of it is not sin. It's other issues. But the answer is the same. Prayer, 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 prayer. And man, we hear it so much, I'm afraid we've gotten used to it, guys. I'm afraid we hear we need to pray so much that we don't really grasp how important prayer really is. But I'll tell you, if you will commit today to begin to pray, you're going to see a change in your life, a noticeable change in your life from this day forward if you commit to pray. And let me say this, I think probably the first change is going to be bad. And what do I mean by that? Not bad with you and God, but I find that when I commit to more prayer or more diligence in prayer or whatever it has to do with prayer, the attack happens right then to drive me from it. All the reasons that I shouldn't be praying start coming into focus and the interference comes. Pray through that. Once you pray through that, you're going to see a new relationship with the Lord, a new relationship with others, a new power in your life. And some of you don't have power in your life today and you're wondering why. Prayer. You need to pray to have power. Now, what is effective prayer? It's not ultimately getting what we want, but ultimately getting what God wants in our life. If I could sum it up in a brief statement, and really you can't sum prayer up that quickly, but just to give you a kind of an overview of what it is, it's God's will in our lives, not ours. That's effective prayer. Because why is that effective prayer? Because truly effective prayer is prayer that is the best for us and the best for God. Now, when you're coming to you or God and deciding what's best for us or best for God, who's the best judge of that? The Lord is. And so effective prayer will come through getting God's will, not our own. I know for years, I used to think that effective prayer was crying out to God and begging him till he did what I wanted. You know, I prayed him into it. Now that's effective prayer. You know, God did what I wanted. That's not always effective prayer. As a matter of fact, sometimes if you stay persistent on something and God grants you what it is, I believe there's a perfect will and there's a permissible will. And I believe Scripture teaches that. And I believe God's perfect will is waiting on God to make it clear what it is he wants us to do and hearing his voice. I believe permissible will is praying about it and not having any roadblocks, and we move forward. You see the difference? Just because there's not a roadblock doesn't mean it's God's perfect will for us. We need to persevere. Say, God, what is it? What do you want me to do? And God will be faithful to do that. But I have grown to understand that what he wants is always best. And if my prayers are going to be effective, they're going to be effective prayers because I'm obeying the Lord. Again, remember the setting. The Lord is now in the garden. They've already had the Last Supper. They've walked down to the garden. The Lord has divided up. He left 8 of them at one place. He went further on and left 3 of them. Now he's gone on by himself to pray in this whole process. And we're going to see him go through this whole agonizing with the Father about what's going to be happening, not only being arrested that night, but the crucifixion the next day. But it's interesting to me when I look at this, and this is one of the things that we need to learn about prayer, is when was the victory won on the cross? Was the victory won, or how was the victory won on the cross? Might be a better way to say this. How was the victory won on the cross? Was it because Jesus worked himself up and got all fired up about how he was going to make sure that he could endure this thing? Or did it come through a night of prayer? Guys, it came through prayer. And I always find that I'm convicted all the more when I realize that Jesus was God in human form, and he saw that it was important that he pray on a regular basis. If Jesus was God in human form and saw that he felt he needed to pray on a regular basis, how much more us? Should we not be praying even more? Listen, he had the connections of being the Son of God. I don't. That means all the more I need to be in prayer. And so the simple fact that Jesus prayed should show us the importance of prayer. And I look at the times that Jesus prayed and how Jesus prayed. It's amazing to me. I mean, you would see a major decision coming up. Let me ask you this question. When the 12 disciples were about to be picked to be followers of Christ, do you think that that was foreordained and the Father knew who they would be and that it was set before time? Yes. And yet Jesus spent all night in prayer before making that decision. So again, there's some mystery to prayer that even when we know what the outcome is going to be, even when we know that God wins in the end, our part is to pray. And there's a number of different reasons for that we're going to get into today. I think one reason just for praying is not really so much for God. Prayer is for us. Yes, God wants the relationship, and we develop a relationship through prayer. But do you think that prayer is really for God, or is prayer really for us, guys? It's really for us. God's going to do what he wants. He's God. He's in control. We need to be in prayer so that we can find the will of God. And it's in prayer we find the will of God, and it's in prayer we find the power to move forward in God's will and do what God has asked us to do. And so where did Jesus, or how did he receive the victory for the cross? He received it in the garden of prayer. That's how he did it. What about you this morning? What about the trial you're facing? How are you going to receive the power to make it through that trial? Some of you here this morning saying, I can't do it. It's greater than me. I don't have the ability to do this. How are you going to find that ability? It comes through power in prayer with the Lord. And so Jesus knew that. We need to learn that. It's so basic, and yet why do we often fall in that area? You know, prayer is one of those things. If I asked you this morning and said, do we all need to be praying? Probably every one of you would say yes. If I ask the next question, do all of us need to be praying every day? I think the answer would be the same thing, yes. And yet let me ask you this question. Honestly now, I'm not talking about the prayer at the meal and occasional prayers we're walking. I'm saying, if I asked right now, does everyone in here pray every day, what would the answer be? I know the answer. The answer would be, no, I don't pray every day, although I know I should. Now let me ask you a question. If we know there's something we're supposed to be doing every day, but we're not, why? Because there's a number of reasons. First and foremost, prayer is not always fun. Sometimes prayer is work. Now, prayer can be a lot of fun, but prayer is a choice. If you're going to choose to pray, you've got to set aside time and do it, right? And if you're like me and you're really going to get time to pray any time of the day, it's got to be in the morning, which means you've got to set an alarm. So it's not just choosing to set a time to pray. It's a sacrifice as well. And we've got to be willing to make that sacrifice. If we're not willing to make the sacrifice, we are not going to pray. What's another reason we don't pray? Well, spiritual opposition. The enemy doesn't want us praying. So what he does is he brings all the reasons why we shouldn't be praying and all the things that'll keep us from prayer and all this kind of, you know what I've noticed? And again, this is something I noticed years ago, but you want to see the enemy's hands in things. Why is it that some of the best programming on TV is at church time on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Now, I don't know if that's still true today. I'm not there to watch it. But I noticed years ago that if there was anything I wanted to see, it would be like on a Sunday night at church time or a Wednesday night at church time. And I begin to find this kind of correlation going, why would that happen? I'll tell you why that happens. Because the enemy knows what will draw us away. But let me be careful on this. Not to mean step on toes, because I enjoy some football as well. But do you find it interesting that the one day of the week that Americans have decided for the pastime that absorbs the time of a lot of people, what day does it fall on? Why is it Sunday? Why couldn't it be some other time? Of course, now it's every day. Monday, Thursday, I mean, you name it, it's every day. But my point is this. Start recognizing how the enemy will work things into your life to pull you away from the things of God. And it's no different with prayer. The reason we don't pray is there's oftentimes other opportunities to do a lot of other things. And so we're going to see what effective prayer is like. Well, notice here, again, it starts out in verse 35. Now, in 34, the Lord had told the disciples, pray, watch and pray. Pray with me, right? And then in 35, we see him now enter into his prayer. Notice it says, he went a little farther and he fell on the ground and he prayed. Now, here's what he prayed. Father, if it is possible, let this hour pass from me. He prayed if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Now, guys, the first thing I want to point out to you, and again, if you're a note taker, is this. When it comes to effective prayer, we first of all have to pray. Now, doesn't that sound simple? Doesn't that sound basic? Notice the Lord knew he needed to pray, so what did he do? He prayed. He went to pray. Now, I know that should be elementary, but we have to remind ourselves, I've got a problem in my life. I've got an issue in my life. I've got this. I need to pray. And oftentimes, we have to remind ourselves because we don't naturally do that. My natural inclination when there is a problem is to begin to start working out how I can make it right, how I can fix it. What do I need to do? And there's nothing wrong in that. Planning, being prepared, that's good. But we need to be praying. And so the first principle I would give you about effective prayer is make sure you're doing it. Don't just expect everything to go, okay, I'm a Christian, I signed up, and now everything will be fine. No, pray. Because that's where you find your answers, your power, and the direction from the Lord. And so it says he began to pray. Notice if it's possible that this hour might pass. So he lays out his request to the Lord. So notice the second thing about prayer. Number one, you've got to pray. Number two, don't be afraid to tell the Lord what you need. Father, if it be possible, please. I mean, just pour your heart out. Even if God's going to say no, there's nothing wrong in you pouring your heart out. And also when it comes to prayer, don't be afraid to be honest with the Lord. Now, why do I say that? Because I think sometimes we're afraid to say certain things in front of the Lord. Now, we wouldn't come out and verbally say that, but how many of us in our prayer time would be able to share our deepest things with the Lord? Maybe things that are intimate, maybe things that we don't even, you know, we're kind of, I'm thinking that, but I shouldn't really mention it. You can pray to the Lord. Pour your heart out. Let him know your heart. You read the Psalms. David's pouring his heart out in the Psalms, just telling God everything. And now we see the Lord, you know, praying, pouring his heart out. And it doesn't give us everything he prayed, just the main parts of his prayer that were important. But we know that he prayed for a long time. And he poured his heart out. But by the time he went back to Peter, in one of the statements, he said, Peter, could you not pray with me at least 1 hour? We'll see that in a moment. So we know he prayed for an extended amount of time. And what all he prayed, we don't know, but we know he did. And he was pouring his heart out to the Father. So the second thing in prayer is pour it out there. Pour it out. What does it hurt? Let him know. And Jesus did that. And notice verse 36, he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. This is powerful. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will. Notice he says, first of all, Abba, Father. Guys, that is the same thing today as us saying, Daddy. Never forget over in Israel, hearing some little child talk to his parent really caught my attention because I'd always been taught that. I'd always been taught that that was their word for daddy. But when you really hear it, it kind of just stops you in your tracks because you begin to realize and you begin to think about this is how Jesus talked to the Father and his relationship to the Father. Now, what did he say? He said, Daddy. I remember a little kid going, Daddy, Daddy. He's going, Abba, Abba, Abba. And it started popping in my mind. What he's saying is, Dad, if there be any way you can do this, then stop it. Now, notice I said he poured all of his heart out. Okay, so don't be afraid to ask for the moon when it comes to God. He can always say no. But pour your heart out. And I think the thing that really hit me this morning as I was just meditating on this, I was thinking about, here he is going to his Father and saying, Dad, if there's any way, and there always is a way because all things are possible with God, that he could stop this, then Father, stop this. And I tried to imagine, what would it be like if one of my kids, what would it be like if one of your kids came to you and you knew they were about to be tortured by someone, that someone was coming to get them, they were going to take them away from you and torture them and kill them. And they're saying to you, Daddy, if there's any way you could stop this, would you? And you had the ability to stop it. What do you think your choice would be? Obviously, our choice would be to stop it. But if you knew that the only way that mankind could be saved from their sin was to allow it to happen, then you'd allow it to happen. That's what the Father did with Jesus. So understand this intimate moment. And so he says, Father, I know all things are possible. And again, that brings us to the next thing that we have to realize when it comes to prayer. And that is, all things are possible with the Lord. All things. Now, why is that so important to understand? Because some of you have categorized in your mind the things that God can help with and the things that God can't. You may not come out and say that, but you do. You've got a headache, you've got a situation, you're going to pray about it, no problem. But if it's leukemia or cancer or AIDS or maybe something that seems impossible to you, how many of us go in prayer and go, oh boy, I've really got to pause and squint hard for this one? Because this is a much bigger request. Do we have to squint any harder based on the size of the request? How big is our God? How big is your God? Do you truly believe this? All things are possible. How many things? All things. Do you really believe that? The only reason the Lord said no to this one is because Jesus had to go to the cross. It wasn't possible for mankind to be saved any other way. But if it is possible and it's within the will of the Father, do you really believe that He can do all things? What are you facing today, gang? What are you facing? What's right now in front of you that's impossible? It's possible. Ask God. Pour your heart out and believe that. But again, the third principle here is that we have to understand that all things are possible with God, that He can solve any situation we come to Him with. And why is that important? Because again, you go with confidence to the throne. I know you can do this, Father. I believe you can do it. And so we have to know that. You know, the problem is only as big as the problem solver. And so we have to recognize that. And that again is the principle here that I want us to grab in this particular verse. How great our God is and what our God can really do. All things are possible with Him. Our faith shouldn't be changing depending on the task. The next principle I want you to grasp here about prayer is Jesus understood that it wasn't about getting His will done, but about getting the will of the Father done. Notice what the Lord says. All things are possible for you. Therefore, get me out of this mess. Might be a way to summarize that. But notice what He says. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Guys, we need to be nevertheless Christians when it comes to prayer. This is huge. Yes, I'm going to lay my heart out. Yes, I'm going to pray. Yes, I believe you can do all things. However, by the time I have done all things and laid everything out, we need to finish at the end of the prayer. Nevertheless, your will be done. Guys, that's easy to say, hard to do. What happens when God brings some major thing into your life, some major trial, and there's something you really want? What happens if your son or your daughter is laying in that hospital bed and you're crying out to God to spare their life? How many of us, if we're crying out to God to spare their life at the end of that prayer, would say, nevertheless, not my will be done, yours? I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want to plant the idea, right? Like He doesn't know it. But guys, wouldn't it be great to have a heart that would say, in everything, even the life of my wife, my children, my friends, myself, my belongings, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. Guys, I'm not saying that I'm always there. I'm learning to get there. But this is God's highest standard. I believe this is the greatest place that we can be when it comes to prayer, and that is turning everything over to the Lord in complete surrender. Total surrender. Because when we do that, there's peace. You know, I find a great peace when I come to the Lord and say, God, here's the things I'd like to see happen. Here's what I'm concerned about. But then I realize, okay, all things are possible with You. You know all things. You know what's best for me. You know what's in Your will. And I've laid it out there for You now. So now I'm just going to say this. Not my will be done, but Yours. And I'm going to trust in You to do it, come what may. That's a true sign of maturity. And that's a true sign that we understand what prayer is really about. Because you see, oftentimes we go to God to try to convince Him of something we want. You know, I'm going to bug God long enough until He gives me what I want. But that's not the true purpose of prayer. The true purpose of prayer is to go to God and find out what He wants. Lord, what is it You want? I want to pray in line with that. I want to be in tune with You. Show me what it is You want. Not my will be done, but Yours. And so don't try to twist God's arm or talking Him into it. He always knows what's best, and we have to trust Him with that. He turns it over to the Father. Notice verse 37. Then He came and He found them sleeping. Now, how would it be if you were in a hard trial and you had some friends and said, guys, pray for me. And then you went back to check on them and they're sleeping. And the Lord finds them sleeping. And He said to Peter, I find that interesting. Notice He singled Peter out. Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Now, this verse is loaded. Notice, first of all, He finds them sleeping. I wonder how many times the Lord has been looking for me to be in prayer. And instead, I've been sleeping. I stand guilty. I know there are times that God would have had me pray. Mark, you need to be praying. And typically it's when I do wake up, whether it's physically or spiritually, the trial's upon me. And now I'm kind of floundering and trying to, you know, just hold on for dear life so I don't sink and go under. You ever see the difference of when you're prayed up and prepared for something and when you just show up and the trial shows up? You ever been there? Why is it on the mornings that you don't pray that suddenly the trial comes that morning? I think sometimes God does that on purpose. I think there are pop quizzes as Christians. And I think God does that to teach us a lesson. And that is simply this. If you're not prepared, you can't handle it when it happens. But if you will be prepared, you can handle anything when it happens, because all things are possible for me, and I will give you the grace that you need to go through it. See, that's the difference, guys. Prayer gives us the ability to do it. It makes it possible. And when I think about the times the Lord has come to me and found me sleeping rather than praying, I know it must have grieved his heart the same way it grieves his heart here with the disciples. And notice this. He turns specifically to Peter. Now, why do you think he turned to Peter? He says, Peter, could you not pray with me? Why do you think Peter? Because just right before this, Peter was saying, I won't fail. Though they all may. Let's put this in modern language. They may sleep. I never would, type thing. In other words, you can count on me. I'm the rock. My name means rock. I'm the one. Jesus needed Peter to know that he wasn't rock. By the way, who gave him the name rock? Jesus did. What was his name before that? His earthly and fleshly name. Simon. Now Jesus comes to him and goes, oh, I see you, rock. It's time to wake up. And yet, what does he call him? Notice here, he doesn't say rock. What does he say? Simon. That must have rung so loud in Peter's ears as he woke up startled, hearing his name, Simon, come from the Lord. Because as far as we know, this is the first time in Scripture since Jesus gave him the name Peter that he ever called him Simon again. Why do you think he did that? Because he's in the flesh. It's interesting. You want to do an interesting study. Notice when Jacob, remember Jacob's other name? God gave him a new name, Israel. When you follow Jacob throughout the Scripture, whenever he's in the flesh, what does God call him? When he's in the spirit, God calls him Israel. When he's in the flesh, what does God call him? Jacob. Not that that wasn't his name. Not that he wouldn't answer to that. What he's saying is, now you're in the flesh. You're not living according to the spirit. Peter is now living according to the flesh rather than the spirit, because he's sleeping rather than praying. And the Lord says to him, Simon. You know, he's been Simonized again after being free from that. Why are you sleeping? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, again, aside from that whole statement to Peter there and all that's going on there, it's interesting here, because the sentence is written in the historical present, which means it's as if the Lord is still saying that today. It's as if God is saying right now, Simon, are you still sleeping? Now, not that Simon Peter is still sleeping right now, but I think the Holy Spirit wrote it that way and put it in there for us to say to us, Mark, you know you need to pray. How long have you known me? How long have you walked with me? Mark, are you still sleeping? Don't you realize you're defeated when you sleep? Don't you recognize that you can't defeat the enemy when you sleep? Don't you know you can't move forward in the things of God when you sleep? Mark, are you still sleeping? I don't know what God's other name is for me. The only name I know is Mark, and I wonder if he's given us all another name. But if he's given us all another spiritual name, I'd rather be called that one than Mark, wouldn't you? Of course, you wouldn't want to be called Mark at all, but you get my point. It's when we don't pray, when we fail in our walk. And guys, as far as prayer goes too, we talk about prayer and choosing to pray. You know, are you still, you know, Mark, are you still sleeping? Prayer is a choice. Note this, prayer is a choice. If we don't choose to pray, we won't. What do I mean? We have to choose when we're going to pray. We have to set that time aside, and we have to set the clock or do whatever we have to do, or we're not going to pray. It's a choice. And the principle is simply this. Prayer takes a willful choice and a willful sacrifice if done properly. There are times that prayer is work. Yes, there are times it's not, but there are times that prayer is work. And I think that's another reason we oftentimes don't pray, because we're not willing to do the work that we need to pray. We'll never see the power to be free in that if we don't learn to seek the Lord and pray. Notice this. Are you still sleeping? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know, I find it interesting. Note that. The Lord speaks in this particular line as if 1 hour is nothing. It's like, it's only an hour, Peter. I'm not even done praying. We just got started. Could you not watch with me even an hour? How many of you guys would feel proud if you could pray an hour? How many times have I prayed? Well, I've prayed a whole hour. Certainly by now, heaven's being shaken and rocking up there. It's like they've heard his prayers. They've got to move now. The angels have been dispatched and everything's happening, right? Here's Jesus' approach to that. Guys, I'm not saying this to make us feel guilty. I'm saying, are we praying? And what is God's view of true prayer and seeking the Lord? He says, 1 hour. Could you not even pray 1 hour? Oh, but I'm too busy. I'm too busy to pray. I can't do that. I love It was either John Wesley or Martin Luther, one of these famous quotes you find in all these pastor illustration books. You'd think I'd know who it was by now, but it was one of these two. And he said, you know what? I have got so much to do today, I have to start out with 3 hours prayer or I'll never get it all done. Now, I don't know what prompted him to say that. But I look at that and think, what do you mean 3 hours to get it all done? I'd be thinking, look, I've got about 5 minutes. Let's get in and out, drive up, win a thing. Good to see you, Lord. You know, unless I'm out of here, there's stuff to do, right? But here's what I found, guys. This is a strange spiritual principle. I have found this to be true in my life. Oftentimes, I panic too much to employ it. But when I do, it is amazing. And I challenge you to try this. I have found on the days when I've got so much to do, and suddenly I feel like I don't have the time to pray, that if I will just stop everything and pray anyway, I get more done. I don't know how it works. I don't know if somehow you step into this like out of time place where God is, or I don't know what happens. All I'm telling you is that I find that I get more done if I pull away and pray on the days that I think I've got more to do. I don't understand it, but it's a true principle. And the Lord says, come on, Peter, it's only an hour. Could you not pray even that long? The Lord's not even done. This is the first time he came back and talked to him. There Peter is dutifully sleeping. Notice he says on to them, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He's giving them a warning. You're going to enter into temptation if you're not praying, Peter. We're about to be, tonight the guards are coming. They're going to arrest me. All this is going to happen. You're going to be tempted to deny. And you said you wouldn't. And I believe that you mean in your heart, but you're not going to be able to. The power is going to be lacking. You've got to pray. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And how often have we talked about that? How well do we know that verse? I know that too well. I want to do what's right. How many of you want to do what's right? I know you do. But when it comes to the time to do what's right, how many of you find out you don't? You know why? Prayer. A lack of prayer. The power comes in the prayer. That's where we find our might to do this. And so he gives this warning to Peter, but to all of us, watch and pray. And notice this. He says, watch and pray, or you will fall into temptation. Not you might. You'll fall, lest you fall into temptation. Not you might. There's a danger of it, Peter. He's saying, no, you will fall into temptation if you don't pray. And the same warning is for us. We need to make sure, because even if the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. Weiss puts it this way, a Greek scholar, literal translation, be constantly watching and praying in order that you might not enter a place of testing that will present to you a solicitation to do evil. Wow. He says, if you'll constantly be watching and praying, then when the temptation comes, you won't enter into the thoughts of doing it, the solicitation to give in. Note this. He didn't say in this passage that the temptations wouldn't come, because they will. Temptations come to all of us. Here's the difference. For those who pray and those who don't. For those who don't pray, they give in to the temptation and they fall in this solicitation to do evil. For those who pray, they stand firm, not in their own might, but in the power of God. You see the difference? And that's what he's saying here. Make sure that you pray so that you won't give in. Another interpretation reads, the spirit indeed presses eagerly, Peter, but the flesh is powerless. Note that. Oftentimes we think we have power to do something, so we don't pray. I can do this. No, we don't have power. We need power from God. And the answer is, although we eagerly desire to do this in our spirit, the flesh is simply powerless to be able to do it. And the word powerless, just when I read that definition, that particular interpretation, it just jumped out at me, because I said, that's how I feel sometimes. Powerless. And God says, I'll give you power if you'll pray. And so that's where we find the power to resist the devil. And that's why our prayer life should be intact. Now the Lord goes back to pray. And look at verse 39. He comes again. Again, he went away and he prayed and he spoke the same words. That is, you know, Father, all things are possible with you. And if I know this cup can pass from me, Lord. If it can, let it pass. And everything else he said, we don't know. It gives us those particular things that he did say. And he goes away and he says the same words. And I find this interesting, because it brings us to the next principle. And that is this. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop, you know, praying. Ask, seek, knock, continue to knock, do all these things. It's interesting, when Jesus said, knock, seek, and ask, it's written in the language in such a way that literally means continue to do it. Don't stop doing it. Do it over and over and over. Don't let up. Why? God wants to teach us to be persistent. God wants the relationship, and God wants us to be in tune with him enough to hear his will and be able to move forward. Don't stop. And so the Lord goes back and continues to pray, to do the same words. And by the way, I've heard some people say, well, you shouldn't pray the same prayer twice, because if you do, that's a lack of faith. Well, apparently the Lord didn't know that. We're to continue in prayer. And guys, we're eventually going to get an answer. Yes, no, or wait. And I don't believe we should stop until we do. Don't stop. But I've been praying this many years. Don't stop. Has God told you no? No. Has he told you yes? Well, no, no, obviously not yet. It hadn't happened. Has he said wait? Well, maybe. I don't know what's going on, but I haven't really heard clear. Then don't stop praying. God is able to let you know, stop it. That's enough. I think of Jacob there at the Ford Jabbok. Remember when Jacob was about to face Esau and his brother Esau was coming? If you don't know the story, his brother Esau was coming and was wanting to kill him. The last time they saw each other, Esau said, the next time I see him, I'm going to kill him. And he heard that message that Esau was threatening to kill him. Now he's going back home after 20 years of being separated from his brother. No conversation, not knowing if the bitterness and anger is still there because he stole Esau's birthright. He's traveling back. He gets news that Esau's coming with 400 men to meet him. And at this point, he's not thinking a welcoming party. He's thinking to wipe him out and wipe his family out. And he enters into a night of, I will call this forced prayer. You know, there are times we pray because we want to, and there are times we go, I've got to, I'm dying. He was having forced prayer next to the Ford Jabbok, that river there. And it says he wrestled with the Lord. The Lord showed up and began to wrestle with Jacob. And he was hanging onto his robe. And the next morning, the Lord said, all right, it's been all night. It's time to go. And, you know, you've been whooped, so let me go. And I'm out of here. And there's a lot of symbolism in the wrestling of prayer. By the way, when he was done wrestling with Jacob, remember his walk changed. When he was done wrestling in prayer, his walk changed. It says the Lord touched his hip and it shrank the muscle there in his hip and his walk changed, quite literally. But when we wrestle with the Lord, our walk will change, guaranteed. But notice what he did. He grabbed onto his robe and he said, I will not let go until you bless me. Guys, we need to be white-knuckled on the robe of the Lord. Not letting go until the Lord blesses, until the Lord answers. And this is the kind of prayer that we've got to pray. This is the kind of the way that we've got to hold on to the Lord and just to continue until the Lord does it. And so he kept going back. And notice verse 40. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. Now it's interesting. The word heavy here means depressed. In other words, they recognized something was wrong, but they didn't know what it was. And this gives me a little bit more compassion for them because you ever been depressed and tried to pray? You ever been heavy and try to pray? It's hard to do, isn't it? When you're depressed and you're heavy, it's a lot easier to eat some chocolate or to, you know, watch a movie or watch a ball game, or at least do this for me, right? And yet, what does God say to do? You got to pray anyway. Even if you're heavy, get up. Stop sleeping, guys. Get up, pray, shake yourself, walk, do whatever it takes. Turn the TV off, set the alarm. And it takes a willful choice and it takes a sacrifice. It takes work. They were heavy, and although that gives me some compassion because I see there was actually an emotional element to them. It wasn't just, hey, we're going to take a nap. They were emotionally drained because of all this. They still needed to pray. And notice this, they did not know what to answer him. You know, what is it when the Lord comes and finds us sleeping and we know we're supposed to be praying, we don't know what to answer him either, do we? Lord, you know, what do you say? You don't say anything at that time. And maybe this morning God is saying to you, you know what? It's time to pray. Stop sleeping so much. Set an alarm. Seek my face. The days are going by quickly and they're getting more evil day by day. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to be in prayer. This whole admonishment, you know, whether or not we're heavy or not, whether or not we're sleepy or not, what do we say? We don't say anything. You know what? Just get up and pray. They didn't have a word to answer him. That's all right. You don't have to answer. Just get up and pray. And then you're going to see God begin to move and God's going to begin to work in a way that only he can work. And notice verse 41. Then he came a third time. He said the third time now. And he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? You know, when I read this, it's kind of like, Mark, how long have you been walking with me? You see the Lord coming back. And I know this happened in a moment of time. But for some of us this morning, God is sending conviction by his Spirit saying, wait a minute. How long have you been walking with me? I keep reminding you that prayer is the most important thing. I keep coming to you about prayer. I throw it in ever so many teachings about prayer. And you're still not praying. How many times do I have to come to you? And he comes again and finds them sleeping. And notice this line. It's the line that I love to hate, but it says, it is enough. And it's almost as if God is saying, you know what? It's enough. You should have been praying. Now it's time to get going. Don't delay prayer anymore. Now you've already missed your opportunity, Peter, to be ready for this trial. It's too late. The trial's upon us. My oppressors are here. But don't let it happen again. Get in the prayer closet. Be in prayer. Be ready. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going, for my betrayer is at hand. Again, it's interesting here that in the language earlier, when the Lord spoke to them about continuing in prayer, the language here is the same way, but now it speaks of them as continuing in sleep. Isn't that ironic? The thing that we should be continuing in, we're always doing the opposite, or often doing the opposite of. It's as if the Holy Spirit is making the point they've been admonished to wake up and pray, and yet they're continuing to do what they know they shouldn't be doing, and that is sleeping. And that same admonishment is for us. Prayer is not for God. This is not to make us feel guilty and all have our heads hanging low as we walk out because we're failures in prayer. It's to stir us and move us and say, wait a minute, how long have I been walking with the Lord? It's time to be obedient and pray. It's enough. Let's do it. Willful choice in whatever that means in your life. God will show you. The problem is by starting once the trial has already begun, it's too late. How much better to already be in prayer before the trial comes, right? You know, if the trial's upon you, you can talk real fast and God's still faithful. But how much better to be ready for the trial before it comes? And so they find that the Lord's betrayer is upon them, their betrayer in a way. And now it's too late. Guys, as we finish this today, here's the challenge. And I say this to sober us up. Listen, I say this to myself first, okay? Are we sleeping rather than praying? Somebody said to me afterwards, you know, I'm talking about, you know, how important sleep is and all this. And the Bible says that God gives us sleep. I'm not saying that we're not supposed to sleep. God gives us sleep. What I'm saying is, we're not supposed to be sleeping when we're supposed to be praying. We need to have that time set aside and say, God, I need you. And I would say the same thing the Lord said to his disciples in that garden that the Lord said to me this week. And I think the Lord would say to you right now, if you've been sleeping and not praying, it's enough. It's enough. Come on. And not in a mean way. God's not mad at you. You know, he's not going to get you. Remember, prayer's for us, not for him. It's so we can know him better. It's so we can walk in power. It's so we can be free. It's so we can see God give us his will and move us in the way he wants us to move. Start out small. Now you're that, yes, the Lord considered 1 hour being nothing. That doesn't mean you have to start out at an hour. If you do, praise the Lord. That's great. But maybe for some of you, if you've never had a prayer life, hey, 10 minutes. Set aside 10 minutes, 5 minutes. 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes in prayer and say, God, I'm having trouble praying. You grow this. You help me do it. And then grow into it and watch what God does. But we need to be praying. It's enough. And what do our prayers need to be like? Well, to be effective, they need to be like the Lord's were. And that is, number one, we have to do it. First of all, the Lord prayed. We have to do it. Next, we need to be passionate. Praying from our hearts. Pray like you mean it. I'm not talking about a fake emotion, you know, talking louder and stomping. You know, God's not hearing me, so I'm going to talk like this and stomp, and now God will hear me, right? I don't think you need to buy the Amplified Bible for God to hear you. The bottom line is, it needs to be from your heart. Oh, Lord, I'm dying. Please hear me. The passion of a true heart before the Lord. Save them, Lord. Help me do this, do that. God, I'm crying out before your throne. I've shown up just like you did. Now I've got passion and I'm crying out. The third thing is we need to be persistent. We've covered all this in the teaching. Just reminding. Persistence. Don't stop. But I've been praying for them for over 20 years. Then pray for them 30. Pray for them 40. Pray for them till you die, till your lips stop and your body goes under. Continue to pray, leaving God's hands what he's going to do. Be persistent. Don't give up. It's going to be worth it that day when we stand before the Lord. And guys, this, of all the things we covered today, is the most important element of prayer. It's the most important thing, I believe, to effective prayer. It's almost hard to say that because they're all so important. You've got to do all the others to get to this. But if you've done all the others and you get to this, then here's the bottom line. And that is, after you've shown up, after you've prayed with passion, after you've prayed persistently, now you got to surrender. Surrender. What's that? Nevertheless, not my will. I just poured my heart out before you, God. I just cried with all I have. I gave you everything I have. I laid it all out there, what I want. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, heal me of this cancer. I want to live. I want to see my family grow. I want to see them. Lord, heal me. But how many of us could be mature enough to get to the end of that prayer and say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And if it's time to come home, it's time to come home. By the way, that's not such a bad option. But guys, we have to understand surrender, total surrender to the Lord. That's what we see for true effective prayer. And let's ask God to make us those who can truly pray effectively. Let's pray. Lord, we come before your throne, seeing your model of prayer. And you've given us many models. You've given the Lord's Prayer. You've given other portions of Scripture that show us what we need to be like in prayer and how we need to pray. But God, it's one thing to learn about it and to have our points in place. But Lord, to do it takes a willful choice. And sometimes a willful sacrifice. Lord, it is enough. We've been walking with you long enough to be sleeping too much and not praying enough. Stir us. Move us. Get us in our prayer closets. Let us have those garden times. Teach us, Lord, to show up. Teach us to be passionate, to be persistent. to, Lord, say, not my will, but yours, to surrender it, so that we might understand what true prayer is and we might walk in the fullness of the Spirit and what you have for us. Lord, teach us to be like you were and like you are. And God, for some in here today, I know there's all different representatives, some here that probably never pray. God, for them, I pray that you would stir them today to make that willful choice to begin to set aside time to pray. And if they don't know you, Lord, that first they would receive you as Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, you just ask him to forgive you of your sin, ask him into your heart and give your life to him. And the Bible says you'll be saved. Lord, if there's anybody like that, I pray you move in their heart to receive you right now and to pray that. And that if there's any believers in here, as we said, that aren't praying, Lord, that you'd stir them to pray today. And begin praying from this point on. Lord, there's some in here that are praying moderately. They're praying a little bit more than at mealtime, but not really a set time of prayer. God, stir them now to move into that next realm. It's enough. It's time to grow. It's time to move forward. And God, there's probably some in here that are prayer warriors. Some in here that would put all of us to shame if we knew how much they prayed. And that's not the point. Lord, that can just turn into a pride thing and be weird. But I thank you for those saints, God, that have got this prayer thing down. And I pray that you would move in us, that we would be those who would get this prayer thing down. It is enough. It is time to pray. The days, Lord, are not getting any better. The time is drawing near to your return. There's needs in our family. There's needs in our community. There's needs in our nation. There's needs in our world. And we need to be with you. We need to walk in your will and your Spirit. Make us men and women of prayer. We admit our weakness. We admit our inability. We admit our failure. But Lord, we trust in you to give us power to change all that. And I ask that right now, you would pour out your Spirit, fill us to overflowing, and give us the ability and the power to be able to pray like we should and to seek you like we should and to watch you move, Lord, in our lives and in others around us like you want. Oh, Lord, I'm expecting great things as you move in hearts today because we've laid it out before your throne. We know you hear our prayer and we give you the glory for answering. And I know this is a prayer that you will say yes to because, Lord, your desire is that we be men and women of prayer. Have your way. Do your work. And Lord, let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.